3 JCA monitoring 610.
K3 JCA, W4 DJW.
DJW, K3 JCA. How you doing, sir?
Hey, Richard. Name here's Dave. Doing fine. How about you?
Okay, just kind of been listening to the repeater all day. And when it goes crackly, I've been trying to jump over to, like, the K9OH and the Spartanburg repeater. But, of course, nobody's around. But if you key it up, I'm getting a full quieting and no crackling or popping when the machine IDs.
That's a good indication of the signal from the repeater itself not coming through from somebody else's receiver, so that's even better. But yeah, we're going to go up. We're going to try to make it up there tonight to swap out for the backup repeater to see if that helps. Pretty sure it's got something to do with our repeater, so we're going to try to make a trip to the mountain this evening.
I'll be here for a while. I don't know if you heard me talking to Shane and a few others. I'm kind of confined to the bed there and on oxygen now. So this is my only means to the outdoor worlds. Is that and my DMR radio.
Well, I hate to hear that, but it is good to know that you're there. Once we get up there, we'll probably need some feedback on whether the backup repeater is working. So it might give you a shout once we get up to the mountain and get it swapped over.
That sounds good. Yeah, I should be here, and like I said, I'm usually here, but if not, I'm on the K9OH or sometimes the 147-315 Spartan Reaver repeater, but basically all day today, I've just stayed here kind of trying to listen if I could hear that noise when it happens.
I've been doing the same thing. I've been working on reverse engineering an RTL SDR while listening to conversations that go on in the short conversations where they just talk for a minute or two and that's it, you know, worked just fine. But it seems like to me, and I could be wrong, but it seems like to me when it gets up to about a half hour that the repeater's been working for about a half hour, it starts to heat up and degrade significantly after that.
Thought was maybe a loose connection on the antenna coax where maybe the wind was picking up and blowing hard enough to kind of shake it. Maybe there was maybe a loose connection or something, but it's intermittent. And like if it, you know, when it gets hot, and cold, it, you know, it contracts and swells and so forth like that back and forth. So it's like you said, sometimes it works fine and then others it goes downhill. I mean, there was sometimes during the net the other night I was listening. I didn't check in because I did it pre-check-in, but I was just listening and you could tell that, you know, people that are normally full quieting in the machine sounded like they were, like, on low power and so far away from the machine that they were just barely making in with the audio.
Yes, that's correct. I heard the same thing, and you are correct. Hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold over a period of time will loosen the tightest. when you tighten a coax cable with your hands, you can only get it so tight unless you use pliers. And I found out over time, years, that hot and cold and hot, doesn't matter how tight you make it with your hands, after a while, that hot and cold and hot and cold will loosen that connection up. That PL259 connection will get loose, and you'll have to tighten it back up. I was always curious about that. How's that thing getting loose? You know, after a couple of years, it's loose. And I'd tighten it up as tight as could be, and a couple of years later, it'd be loose again, especially in my car. Because it's more susceptible to the heat differences. So, yeah, that does exactly what you were saying. But I think I was talking to Johnny about it a little while ago. I'm thinking that this one is, or he's thinking that this one has something to do with the output amplifier inside the repeater. There's an exciter and then there's an output amplifier, not an external amplifier, but an internal output amplifier, the thing that brings the exciter up to its output, the repeater's output power. Sounds like it's having some issues. So we're going to just swap it over tonight, let it run on the backup for a while. If that solves the problem, then we'll go back up there and get the primary and bring it back home and fix it.
It's my days. I'm going to say 30 years ago, because it's been that long. So back in the 80s, I worked for a place in Delaware that was American Industrial Marine Electronics, and we did all kinds of radio repair and down to the component level, and we did a lot of the state police communication stuff, and so I miss all my stuff working for that. So, matter of fact, I actually had purchased a Motorola service monitor, and not even 2 weeks after I purchased it, put the order in, I got hit by a drunk driver and ended up losing my leg, and I had to cancel the order.
Oh, wow, I hate to hear that. That was back in the 80s?
My boss had an IFR 1200S, I believe it was, service monitor, and I was going to get that, but at that particular time, they weren't making them anymore, and it was very hard to find. And another friend of mine suggested I get a Motorola service monitor, and so I placed the order. It was like $10,000 for the service monitor, but needless to say, I ended up having to cancel it when I ended up in the hospital.
Just the service monitor itself, just the, like a manual or a piece of equipment?
Yeah, a piece of equipment, test equipment for, it was the signal generator, tracking analyzer. It was a complete service monitor that you could take with you in the field. You could take, put it on a bench, and you could basically tune radios, tune duplexers, you name it.
Well, that'd be a nice piece of equipment to have. Well, we get by with a whole lot less than equipment like that, but that would be very nice.
But I attributed a lot of it to the name. You know, you're paying for the Motorola name, but yeah, because I think a 1200 is only, what, about 3,000?
A 1200 what?
Made by IFR, the IFR 1200S service monitor.
I don't know. I've never had one of those. I get the stuff you either build yourself or you buy it at a ham swap net, and it's like no longer with top of the line back in his day, but no longer top of the line.
I remember those days too, yeah. I remember when I was with Air Force Mars, I got a lot of test equipment back then. Mega telescope, but I never got it, but the government was able to give me a boat anchor 5 megahertz scope, but it still served the purpose what I needed, so, but needless to say, I don't have the room or the mobility anymore to do a lot of that stuff. KA3JCA.
W4DJW. I just recently retired, 10 months ago. I'm not accustomed to it yet, still working on getting accustomed to it, but I miss it. When I was working, it was like work. It was hard work, and it took a lot from you. But I didn't realize how much I was enjoying it a lot more than I knew I was enjoying it. Because like you said, back in the 80s when you were doing that, that was something that was fun. You reflect back on that, and I think those are good thoughts. And I'm starting to do the same thing. But I am enjoying also not having the responsibilities anymore and being able to do what I want when I want.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not implying that you're older or anything like that, but I mean, my dad retired after 23 or 26 years of military service, and literally, I saw him in a week's time. I saw him age drastically because he was so used to getting up, had a routine, you know, have his coffee and maybe some breakfast and go to work and chat with the guys. But when he retired, he got up and it's like he had nothing to do. I mean, he had stuff to do around the house, but it just wasn't the same. And I mean, you could see it took a toll on him, that structured life the military has.
That's one thing that a lot of ham radio operators, especially, I don't know how long you've been listening to this repeater, but there was one of the originals. I think there might be one left, but there was one or two left, and Ray Allison was his name. He everybody liked him. He had been retired for quite a few years, at least 20 years, and he used to say, you got to keep busy. He said he knew I was coming up on retirement. He said, you got to keep busy. You can't slow down. You got to keep going for the exact same reason you're talking about. And he lived on up into his 90s, but he stayed busy the whole time. But you're right. You got to switch over And that's one of the things that I'm doing, switching over and staying busy with other things like flying radio-controlled airplanes and working on ham radio equipment. And then you got to wash the dog and wash the car and wash the house and, you know, go get the mail and all that stuff. That keeps you busy as well. You know, cut the grass, and that's okay, but it's not as fun as the hobbies. And you know, I remember when I had to go to work when I was 14 years old, I was flying airplanes back then, radio-controlled airplanes. And I was thinking, man, I'm not going to get to fly airplanes much anymore now that I'm working. When I was 14 years old, washing dishes at Western Family Steakhouse. And now, 50 years later, that's 50 years of working between those two points in time, I got that time back again to go fly airplanes. And I'm working on other things instead of going and flying. Isn't that the way it works out? W4DJW.
Occasion the machine is starting to come back now. I don't know if you can hear it on my end, but I can definitely hear it on your end. I built one model plane when I was a young kid, and with my dad and so forth, out of the balsa wood. And of course, it wasn't paper. It was almost like a cellophane membrane that you kind of put over and use a heat gun to shrink it. Did that, but I did one step better. I went and got my pilot's license in 79, so I have a single engine land. Of course, needless to say, I can't fly again, but now when we were talking about being active too, yeah, I've been active. I was active at the club, you know, when I first got up here, and my health really took a turn for the worse, and then it started to get better, and then things started getting worse and worse, and so the last 2 years, I've been pretty much not being able to drive, not being able to do much, but staring at four walls.
That's got to be hard to get used to, but at least you do have a hobby that will let you still virtually get outside the house, right? Getting inside other people's heads and talking to other people. Which, you know, I was talking to my son-in-law last time they were down here from Raleigh, and he's looking at the antenna on the back of the car, and he was asking me questions about it. And I said, there's a whole other world out there of people that are talking to each other every day, all day, on different bands. And he said, what's a band? it's kind of like work. You don't realize how good of an advantage it is compared to what the people that don't have it, right? Those people that don't know anything about it, that it exists. The closest thing they've got to it is social media, which is junk compared to ham radio, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. W4DJW. Yeah, I'm getting back. I had a transmit button hang, so I had to switch over to a different radio, but I hear that static you were talking about as well, and I was talking into the back of the mic. That might be better. W4DJW.
No, that static is still there, even talking into the back of the mic. So, and then there's two other stations that are hearing it too, so yeah, it could be something like you said in the exciter side when it starts to get hot or warm, that something's happening.
I didn't hear the other two stations. I had to do a quick kill of that radio. That was a virtual radio inside a computer. I had to kill it. And then I had to turn on a real TS-2000 over here as a backup that I use for backup and tune it to the frequency in order to get back on the air. So while I was doing that, the other two stations come in, so I didn't get to hear that.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Was that NUE and WWZ? Is that who I heard? All right, well, welcome. The repeater's not doing so hot right now. We're going to go up there in a little bit and swap it out for the backup and see if it does better. But Richard and I were talking, and it degraded over the period of time that we've been talking, about 15 minutes, I guess, 15 to 20 minutes. So, yeah, it's not doing so hot right now. So I'm going to go ahead and back out because I have a very hard time hearing it right now because it's so scratchy. So I'm going to go ahead and back out. But anyway, Richard, I enjoyed our cue, so. And I might ping you in a little bit once we get up on the mountain. W4DJW. I think we're good. I think we're just going to make a quick trip up there and a quick turnaround. Just go up there, put it on the backup, and come right back down the mountain. Talk to you later, Richard, W4DJW.
Worse and worse. I wonder if that repeater up there is starting to run. Okay, comma. I'll meet you up there, period.